Amen. Now, as we look at this, and we're going to not take a lot of time, nothing, you know, this is not any big, profound kind of message or whatever, but there's five things. Five things that I think mothers can go through, all of us go through to one extent or another, and God has a word for you. And we're going to give you a lot of scriptures today. I don't have any notes for you, as you've already seen, but I want to encourage you that in your bulletin you can write down these scriptures and you can look them up. Whether you're a mother or not, maybe you're a grandmother, maybe you're a grandfather or a father, whatever the case may be, whatever your situation, you may be single. Do you know if you're single, you can still be a mentor to someone like a mother would be to a child. Isn't that right? Maybe you have been childless and you are married but couldn't have children. You can still be a mother to a child or to someone in order to help them along. We have many mothers in Israel, as Deborah was called. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so let's just look at some of these things, and then we're going to pray for mothers today and strengthen them with our prayers. First of all, in this Mother's Day card from God, when you feel alone, how many of you mothers, and you don't have to raise your hand, but a little bit of introspection can help you maybe. How many of you feel like sometimes you're alone? You feel like you're doing it all alone. You may have a husband at home. You may not. You may be in different situations, but you feel like you're doing this all alone. I want to give you a word in God's Mother's Day card for you right now. Look up on the big screen. Remember, Jesus said this, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." In Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Say, "He is with me." Especially you mothers, say, "He is with me." He never meant for any of you to go it alone. He never meant for you to mother alone. He never meant for you fathers to father alone. He never meant for any of us to do anything that we do. To do it alone was never a part of His plan. But you know what? We have this tendency of thinking, well, I've got to make it on my own. I've got to do it myself. I've got to work my own effort into this and what have you. You know, very little of God's people, I think, really put enough trust in Him when it has to do with parenting our children. How about you? I need help. Amen? I need help. Notice the next passage or the next frame, if you will. Notice it says in Hebrews 13:5, God also says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." And this comes from Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And so say this with me, "I am not alone. God will never leave me, and He will never forsake me." Sometimes I think mothers feel forsaken. They feel like they are all alone, but God is the one who will make up for it as we put our trust in Him. Amen? Notice now another scripture, very encouraging, and I think something that will help you to experience His presence. Let's look at the next frame, if we could. James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you." And so, you know, one of the things that mothers do and fathers and everybody else, when we are feeling like we're at the end of our rope, we get thinking we're all alone. How many of you know if you want to stop feeling like you're all alone, begin to draw near to Him and He's going to show up? If we begin to feel like I'm in this alone, He's forsaken me, I don't have God's help. God, where are you? I know none of you ever pray that kind of prayer. God, where are you? I want you to know He's right there all the time, whether you feel like He is or not. Because we're not walking by feelings, are we? We're walking by faith. But you see, in the midst of those feelings, and we can't deny those feelings, in the midst of those feelings, we need to begin to trust God, believe God. That's where faith kicks in, because faith is not needed when you see the tangible manifestation, do you? It's not needed then. It's needed when it doesn't feel like it. It's needed when it doesn't look like it. That's when faith is needed. And so in the midst of those times when you feel like you're alone, you need to stir up your faith, draw near to Him, and expect Him to show up and believe that He is there and He's going to give you the answer. Amen? So many times we think, well, I've got to make decisions on my own. How many of you know you don't have to make another decision on your own? You don't have to make decisions on your own. Thank God you got help. And that comes to the next thing as far as God, when you feel alone. The next one is when you feel like you need help. You need help. Look at some of the scriptures for Him being a helper. Notice Psalm 46:1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Say, God is very present. Think about it. God is very present. He's not just present. Present's good. But it says he is very present in your time of trouble. And you would know, I'm sure, that it's during times of trouble that we feel like he's not present the most. Is anybody relating to this at all? It's in times of tribulation. It's in time of trial that we feel so distant from God, that we feel like he is not present. But yet it's during those times that God emphasizes in his word that I am present, because we need to have it emphasized at that time. When we are in the midst of trouble, God has made sure that he emphasizes that in the midst of trouble, I am very present. Because people tend to doubt it the most during those times, right? And so I say to you, if you're going through some trouble today, whatever that trouble may be, it could be marital trouble, it could be physical trouble in terms of sickness and disease, it may be mental anguish, it might be financial trouble, it might be trouble with kids, it may be trouble at work, it may be whatever. You put your title in there or your category in there. If you're going through trouble right now, you pick your trouble that you're going through, and I want you to know that God is very present and very present to help in that time of trouble. Amen? If you've got trouble with your marriage, I want you to know God is very present to help. If you've got trouble with your kids, he is very present to help. If you've got trouble with your job, maybe there's a threat of layoff, maybe there's a threat of demotion or whatever, I want you to know God is very present to help. But going back to this idea of being alone, I encourage you, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. God is obliged to respond to your drawing near by drawing back near to you again. Amen? Did you get that? God is obliged by his word to respond to you drawing near to him. God is obliged in his word that when you are drawing near to him in prayer, when you are drawing near to him in worship, when you are drawing near to him even in a cry for help, that's a great prayer. When you're drawing near to him in those areas, God is obliged, because he's a God of his word, to respond to you drawing near by drawing near to you. Now, I know people would argue and say, well, God can't get any nearer. He lives in you. But you can sure experience his nearness more. Can't you? James 4 and verse 8 or verse 7 that we were just looking at, that is in the New Testament. And the New Testament tells us that he lives in us. But yet it also says, draw near and he'll draw near to you. Amen? Are you doing all right? All right, let's go on with another passage here concerning help. Jesus said this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. You know, a lot of times, I'll read on this in a minute, but I want to just mention this to you. A lot of times we think that the helper, obviously the helper, is the Holy Spirit. Later he'll say the Spirit of truth. That is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And a lot of times I think we Christians, we think of the Spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit is only there to help us in certain categories. He's there to help us to understand the Bible. He's there to help us to pray. He's there to help us whatever, to do whatever and what have you. However, think about it more specifically. The Spirit of truth has been given to you and me in order to help us to be a mother. Help us be a father. Help us to do whatever it is we got to do. You can draw on the helper. Amen? Can you imagine God by his Spirit living in you, mothers? God by his Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you, ever ready to help you be a mother in the best way possible to those children. And it doesn't even matter what stage of life your children are in. It doesn't matter if they're just little ones, babies, toddlers, teenagers, or whether they're full grown, because no matter how old they are, you never stop being a mother. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter what stage they're in. The Holy Spirit is still available to be your helper in order to know how to deal with your children and how to minister to them and how to help them in the right way as well. The Holy Spirit is your empowerment to help. But see, I think so often we think he's only to help for what we might consider spiritual things. The Holy Spirit is very practical, and he wants to help us in practical areas of our lives. Amen? Somebody said, preacher, you need to always preach about practical things of life. Now, what people think about that or think that means, they think you always have to teach on marriage, which is fine. We need to teach on marriage or raising kids or they always think everything has to do with practical areas, with this idea that everything is not practical. But I submit to you, everything about God is practical. It may not always make logical sense to you, but with his logic, his brain's bigger than yours and mine. Did you ever Amen? And so just because we can't always comprehend or see the logic or the practicality of it, it's always practical to God. I want you to know praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is practical. Thank you for those 5 weak amens. But nevertheless, it is practical to do that. It is practical to lift your hands and praise God with an excited voice. Amen? That is practical. You say, how can that be practical? Because when we do that with a heart of faith, God can do great things because He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen? What can be more practical than having His presence show up in a powerful way? Amen. God's always practical. Now, as it reads on into this, it says, Jesus, again, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Notice, forever. Say forever. Say, I have the helper. He lives in me. And He lives in me forever. Praise God. That means no matter whether you feel like it or not, He's forever in you. It says the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, we're on this side of the cross and the resurrection, and so He has gone now from being with us. He's now in us as well. Amen? Let's go to the next passage. Are you getting anything out of this? John 14:26, we're talking about God's Mother's Day card to mothers. You need to realize, ladies, if you're a mother, that you have a helper. Amen? Amen. I know many of you probably have spouses that help. Many of you might have mothers that help you, mother, or mother-in-laws, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, thank God you're not even limited by human help. You've got the help of God, divine help. Amen? Thank God. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, it talks about teaching you all things. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit then, as our Helper, can teach us how to be a mother, teach mothers how to be a mother, teach fathers how to be a father, definitely teach kids how to be a good kid, amen, and all those things. The Holy Spirit is not bound by what He teaches. He'll teach us anything that has to do with life, amen, because how many of you know the Bible is a handbook for life, and so I believe we should draw upon that and exercise our faith. Father God, by Your Spirit, teach me. Teach me how to deal with this situation that my son or my daughter is going through. Teach me how to discipline them, or what should I do? Should I discipline them? Teach me how to speak. Teach me how to instruct. Teach me how to disciple my children. Amen? You believe He can teach you to do that? I believe He can, right? And being more of a proactive person and parent instead of a reactive. There's too much reactionary parenting in the world today, isn't there? Are you mad, glad, or sad today? Well, it's increasing. It's increasing. All right. Thank God for the Holy Spirit to teach us how to be parents in whatever way. Praise God. Let's go to the next thing now. He says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with the eye, with my eye upon you. God's eye is on us. He promises that He'll teach us and He'll show us the way to go. Let's relate this again to the idea of parenting and being the kind of parents, the mother especially, as we deal with that today, that one would want to be. Amen? All right, now, let's go on with some other things with this. Now, we've talked about now when you feel, what was the first one? When you feel alone, when you feel like you're doing it alone. The next one is when you feel like you need help, amen? And now the next one we want to look at real quickly is when you feel tired and overwhelmed. I was talking to my wife about this message a little bit, and you know, talking about different things that mothers might go through, and the word that she used was the word overwhelmed. She said women feel overwhelmed. I kind of got the idea she's talking about herself, but I'm sure that applies to every mother, that they at one time or another, maybe even most of the time, I hope not, they feel overwhelmed. If I had a show of hands, I would say that most mothers would raise their hand. Either they've been overwhelmed or feel overwhelmed right now. Overwhelmed. Well, how many of you know God's got a word for you? God's got a word for you. You know, when you think about it, mothers sometimes, I mean, they're the taxi driver. They're the school teacher because they do the help them with the homework. They're the laundromat. They're the cook and baby bottle washer. I mean, they do so many things, don't they? They're the counselor many times because the child may be struggling with certain things and they go to their mother to share many times because typically, not always, but mothers are there more maybe than men are, the fathers and what have you. In our society, it's certainly the truth. Hopefully in Christianity, it's more balanced out. But nevertheless, mothers do so much, they can certainly feel overwhelmed. They have a full-time job often as well, and then they try to do all these other things. Overwhelmed is definitely a word in describing mothers today. But God has a word, doesn't He? Let's look up here. Let's look at the next one. Notice the Weiss translation of Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come here to me, all you who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion." I think that that describes mothers, doesn't it? To the point of exhaustion. He says, "Come to me, all who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion and who have been loaded with burdens and are bending beneath their weight. And I alone will cause you to cease from your labor and take away your burdens and thus refresh you with rest." Say, that's a promise for me. It's a promise for all of us, including mothers. Notice it says, if you are weary, if you are at the point of exhaustion, you come to Him. It's time to get apart, isn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes people think, and mothers, I'm sure, maybe more than others, I don't know, but we could all fall into this rut, if you will, and think, you know what, I'm just so busy. I don't have time to come near to Him. I don't have time to, as He says, come here to me. I don't have time to do this. I submit to you, one of the best things you can do for your children is get away from them and get alone with God. And ladies, I just want to tell you, you probably already know this, going into the bathroom for hours on end doesn't cut it. Isn't that right? I know mothers oftentimes, you know, they go into the bathroom and lock the door because it's the only time they can find any peace. But it's short-lived because sooner or later they're going to be looking for you. And if you lock that door, they can't get in. You may not answer, but they know you're in there. Isn't that right? They know you're in there. That door's not locked for no reason, right? And so, you know, there's no escape, but you need to make a way somehow, some way. The best thing mothers can do for their kids oftentimes is to get away from their kids and get away and alone with God. Amen? And what will happen is those burdens will be taken away, and God, by His Spirit, will refresh us and refresh you and bring you rest that only He can bring. Thank God. God provides a rest, doesn't He? Are you getting anything out of this? If there's anything you hear today, just realize, mothers, you don't have to do this by yourself. That God is ever ready and able, willing to help in whatever way you need that help. Amen? Going on to another passage here. Notice Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to His people. When you feel you're tired and overwhelmed, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Let's fill it in. The Lord will give strength to the mothers. The Lord will bless the mothers with peace. Amen. It applies, doesn't it? Amen. All right. Let's go on to the next frame. Notice this from Psalm 61:2 through 4. Capitalization is added. Notice what it says. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. Now, this is David, but it applies to everyone, especially mothers. To the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter from me, a strong tower from the enemy. Not that your kids are enemies. A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. You'll notice that in this, that there is a solution. There is a remedy for feeling overwhelmed then, isn't there? And it's the same remedy we've already mentioned. He said in this, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. When you feel overwhelmed, you feel pretty shaky. When you feel overwhelmed, you feel like the world is falling apart around you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Nothing seems stable. Nothing seems firm. Nothing seems like you've got a sure footing on anything when you're feeling overwhelmed. But He says, when I feel overwhelmed in my heart, lead me to the rock. Who is the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is a strong foundation, a strong refuge, a place where you can go in order to overcome that heart that is overwhelmed, amen? How many of you think you need this word today, amen? I believe I need this word today. I believe we all need this word today. Nothing particularly profound. But nevertheless, the things of God don't have to be profound. The things of God just need to be done. And when we do it, praise God, it works. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's look at the next passage, if you will. The next thing, though, before we read, the next thing we've talked about, this idea of when you feel alone. The second one, when you feel like you need help. The third one, when you are tired and overwhelmed. And then this one now, when you're tempted to be worried. How many of you know there's something about mothers that if they're not careful, they can really get overwhelmed with worry, can't they? Men can worry as well, obviously, but it seems like mothers worry more. I don't know what it is, it's part of their DNA or whatever it might be, but you know, you don't need to worry when you're trusting God. Isn't that right? I know there's some ladies that think, if I don't worry, I'm not being a good mother. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because they know their mother worried, and they would never say their mother wasn't a good mother, and their mother was a worrier. And I've had ladies say, my mother was a worrier, and I got it from her, and I'm a worrier, and almost take pride in the fact that they're such good worriers. Did you know worry doesn't help anything? Do you know worry? The only thing worry does is cause you to get sick oftentimes. Isn't that right? How many of you know worry will give you an ulcer? Worry will give you grayer hairs and quicker grayer hairs. Worry might even cause your hair to fall out. Worry will cause you to have an upset stomach, and all sorts of symptoms can come simply because of this one word called worry. Jesus said, you can't add one cubit to your stature. You can't change anything by worrying. Isn't that right? And so what's the word say? What's God's word say to us? Amplified Bible, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. Once and for all on Him. Why? Now He tells us why. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Do you think that you can trust Him with your worries when you know He loves you affectionately and watches over you carefully? Do you think you can trust Him then? Part of that is also the fact that God loves your kids more than you do. God loves them more than you do. That might be hard to understand or perceive or what have you, but nevertheless, it's so, isn't it? Because God's love is perfect love. He loves your kids more than you love your kids. And so it says, this is not a suggestion. Did you notice this is not in the form of a suggestion? Do you know that? Notice that this is really in the form of a command, isn't it? It's saying to do this, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety. It doesn't say if you'd like to. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, etc. Once and for all on Him. Doesn't say, if you feel like doing that, do that. Or if you'd like to do it, do it. No, He's saying it in the form of command. He's saying, do this. Because I love you and care for you affectionately, and I care about you watchfully. It's a matter of faith, isn't it? It's a matter of trust. We talked about fishing a little while ago. A lot of people, the way they cast the whole of their care is like the fisherman casts out that line. And as soon as he casts it out, he's reeling it right back in. Isn't that right? And that's the way many of you and I sometimes cast our care. We cast it out, but we're reeling it right back in. If God doesn't take it right away, if He doesn't take it right away, I'm going to take it back. Let's go to the next passage, if you will. New Living Translation, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. That's pretty blunt and to the point, isn't that right? He says, don't worry about anything. It isn't a suggestion. Again, it's a command. Worry is sin. Now, I know that we don't like that. We say, you're being legalist. I'm not being legalist. I'm trying to help people get free. Amen? And worry really is a sin, because anything that's not trusting in God is a portion or a form of sin. Isn't that right? I mean, if we're not believing God, trusting, and we've all been tempted. I'm not saying I haven't been tempted. We've all been tempted to worry. If you've never been tempted to worry, we're going to pray for you because you're lying. We've all been tempted to worry, haven't we? And many, all of us, I would say, not even many of us, all of us have fallen into the temptation. We have submitted, we've committed it, haven't we? No question about it. We've all done it. We've all not only been tempted, but we've fallen in and took that temptation and fell into that sin of worry. But nevertheless, we ought to all be learning to cast the care of that worry over on the Lord. Amen? And the world is full of opportunities to worry. You can worry about the future of our country. You can worry about what's happening in Iran, Iraq, North Korea. You can worry about all those. You worry about all sorts of things. Did you know, though, by worrying about them doesn't help a thing? All it's going to do is make you grow old fast. Did you know God knew you'd be here anyway? God knew you'd be living right now. He knew you'd be here May 9th, 2010. He knew you'd be alive right now. He knew everything that was going to be going on in the world. He knows more of what's going on in the world than you do. Isn't that right? Do you know God's not worried one bit about the world? He's not worried one iota, is he? He's not worried about that guy with the funny hair in North Korea. He's not worried about him. He's not worried about Ahmad Abajinadad or whatever his name is. Not worried about him one bit. Did you know that? God is not worried about him at all. Now, God cares about them. God loves them both. Isn't that right? But God's not worried about them or what they're going to do or anything else. God knew you'd be here. God's called you not to worry. And he knows about more than you know about, and he's not worried. What do you say we just trust him and live longer? What do you say we just draw near to him and the Holy Ghost will warn us if there's going to be trouble or warn us if there's going to be danger? And instead of going that way, we'll go this way because we're getting close to him. We're not worried about it. We're just walking by faith. Isn't that right? What do you say we just let God take care of that? Cast the care of Ahmadinejad, whatever his name. Cast the care of him over on the Lord. What do you say? What do you say we just cast the care of the value of the American dollar over on the Lord? Let him worry about that. Isn't that right? I'm not saying you don't plan or anything, but when you cast the care over on him, you're not all caught up with your own thoughts of worry, and you can receive instruction and direction and be led by the Holy Ghost that'll keep you safe in the midst of these things. Does that make sense to you? See, worry will muddle your mind. Worry will hinder you from hearing from God. Worry will hinder you from being led by the Spirit. And God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be the shepherd, if you will, who will lead you beside still waters, who will restore your soul, who will cause you to walk, in the shadow of death, but yet you'll not experience evil. He wants to be your shepherd, but if you're muddling your mind with worry, you won't hear from the shepherd the way you should. Does this make any sense to you? And so, you know, going back to mothers now, if you want to be really a good mother, reject worry and instead pray. Reject worry and instead cast the care. And the Lord will show you what's going on. The Lord will reveal to you how to minister to your kids. The Lord will show you. You'll be led by the Spirit. Your mind won't be muddled with worry, which is a form of fear. And praise God, you'll get the results you really want that way. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this? You wouldn't lie to me now, would you? All right, let's go on to the next one now. It says in the Message Bible, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. So it gives you something else to do, right? Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Don't you like that? Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And so we see the remedy for worry is praying. The remedy for worrying is just seeking God. Have you ever noticed that when you pray about something, the burden will leave and you won't be as worried about it, if worried at all anymore? Isn't that right? Whenever we're worried about something, it's indicative of the fact that we've not prayed about that thing. I have found over and over and over again in these 30 plus years of knowing the Lord that when I've prayed about something, the worry seems to leave me. It's amazing how that works. Amazing how that works. All right? And so we're talking about, ladies, when you feel alone, what you should do in scriptures for you, a word for you, when you need help, when you feel tired and overwhelmed, when you're tempted to be worried. And then we come to the next one, and that is when you feel discouraged. When you feel discouraged. Let me share with you briefly. It's not in the PowerPoint, but let me share with you what discouraged means. It means this: to deprive of courage. It means to deter, to dishearten, to hinder, to show disapproval. Have you ever felt disheartened, ladies? All of us have, haven't we? We felt discouraged. We felt to be deprived of courage. It also means it's a feeling of dejection and heaviness in our heart. I want you to know God's got a word for us, amen? God's got a word for mothers when you feel discouraged, whatever the case may be. It has been described as feeling down, feeling blue, or feeling disheartened. It is often a state of desperation, which gives a person the feeling of hopelessness. This idea of discouragement, I want you to know right now that God doesn't want you discouraged. Now, we all get tempted to be discouraged. And some people, did you hear that thunder? The thunder of my voice. God does not want us discouraged. Some people think it's normal to go through times of discouragement. You have to reject that idea. It's not normal. It's not normal to be on an emotional roller coaster and to go through life saying, oh, well, I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a bad mood today. I'm in a so-so mood today. No, you know what? The people of God, they ought to be on an even keel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying there's not times of grieving when there's a loss. Absolutely, there's times of grief. But in the midst of grief, there's the joy of the Lord. Amen? I'm not saying there's not opportunities and there's things that attack our minds. But in the midst of it all, we stand strong. Amen? I'm not saying there's not trouble. We have promise in the Word that we're all going to have trouble in life. But the Word also says in John, for example, chapter 16 and verse 33, He said, in the world you're going to have trouble. But He said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. How about that one? Amen? And so we're going to have trouble. We're going to have times where we're tempted to be discouraged. But we need to refuse. We need to look at all of these things. Whether it's loneliness, whether it's, a feeling like we don't have enough help, whether it's a feeling of being overwhelmed or tired or worried or whatever, discouraged. We need to look at all of those things as attacks against us and as enemies in and of themselves that we're going to reject. I refuse to be discouraged. Oh, let me tell you, you may say, Pastor Jay, you don't have the hard time I have. You don't have the opportunities that I've had. Oh, really? Really? Oh, we've had ample opportunity to be discouraged. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't get tempted to quit. Did you know that? Hardly a day goes by I don't feel like quitting. Especially Monday mornings. Monday mornings are quitting day. I can't tell you how many times. Monday mornings are resignation day. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? And you may not understand that, but I get attacked with that. I get hit with that. And thank God for a woman that'll, just jack me up against the wall and say, straighten up, boy. Not really. But I'm sure she feels like it at times. I probably could. Thank you, brother, for cheering me on that one. Amen. Probably could. But you know what? You know, we need to reject those thoughts. Reject those things. Isn't that not right? I refuse. I'm not taking that discouragement. I refuse. I'm not taking that worry. I refuse. I'm not taking that loneliness. I refuse. I'm not going to be tired. I've got the strength of the Lord. You understand? I will not be overwhelmed. We've just got to refuse. We just got to decide that we will not allow that to happen. Amen? Now, this idea of discouragement, we've got a word for you today. Let's go to the next frame. Joshua 1, 5, and 6, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Now, you may say, well, he's talking to Joshua. I want you to know anything that's good for Joshua is certainly good for new covenant people. Amen? And he says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And you know, to be of good courage means you're not discouraged, right? And so say this by faith, God is with me. He will not fail me. He will not forsake me. I am strong and I am of good courage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We just got to take a stand. Amen. If you're gonna quit, every time you're discouraged, how many of you know that you'll just go in circles all your life? Isn't that right? Now, I know mothers don't quit, but sometimes I'm sure they feel like it. Let's see some other scriptures here. Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Notice now David the psalmist says this, why am I cast down? He's saying basically, don't be cast down, O my soul. Sometimes talk to your soul. Say, soul, you stop being cast down. You stop being disquieted. Hope in God. Remind yourself there's hope in God. Remind yourself that there's a better day coming. You know, I get so, you know, I don't want to hang around doomers and gloomers. How about you? Now, I know what the Scripture says. Scripture says in the last days, perilous times will come. I admit that. I know that. I know that's going to happen. I know that there is the spirit of Antichrist in the world today. I know that. I know there's opposition against the gospel. I know that there's people that hate Christians. I know all that. I know there's reasons for, you know, just being a doomer and a gloomer and what have you. But I submit to you that we who are believers in Jesus Christ have faith in Him. We should not be doomers and gloomers. We should be people that are the most optimistic, seeing the bright light more than anybody. Isn't that right? You know, if you remember, amen, if you remember Isaiah chapter 60, it says, as the prophet speaks, he says that the day will come when darkness is going to cover the earth. And it says gross darkness, the earth, but it says also, but His light is going to shine upon you. Isn't that right? And that light is going to cause the Gentiles or the non-believer to be drawn to that light. And so whenever God talks about the bad news, He's talking about out there, and then He talks about the good news of the church and how the church is the solution for the bad news out there when we're walking with God. Isn't that right? And so if we're dooming and glooming like the world, how many of you know they're dooming and glooming? I mean, they're panicking in many respects, aren't they? I mean, they are dooming and glooming. Do you know we need to let our light shine? Let that joy come forth. Isn't that right? Well, praise God. And I know we all get tempted. We all get tempted. But praise God, there's good news. This is called the gospel. That means good news, right? Now, notice the next frame. I'm almost done. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. You know, David, he went through some hard times. Would you admit to that? David went through some difficult times. He had people wanting to kill him. Saul tried to kill him many times. He had people against him. He had these giant guys after him. I mean, he had all sorts of things. I mean, the Amorites, the Amalekites. I mean, he had all sorts of opportunities to be disquieted, to be discouraged. He had a wife. One of his wives was just a real discouragement to him. Isn't that right? Michal despised him in his heart. I mean, he had a heart for God, right? I mean, he had all sorts of... He had Absalom, a son who wanted to kill him. Now, you've never had a son want to kill you, I don't think, have you? I mean, he had some hard times, but what did David say? He said, you, Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory, and you are the lifter of my head. Whatever we go through, trust God to be the lifter of our heads. Amen? That means bringing us out of discouragement in every way. And then I think there's one more. And that's from Galatians 6:9, the analytical literal translation. Notice what it says. Now let us not become discouraged or weary in the doing of good. For at the proper time we will reap, not being discouraged, or if we do not get discouraged. He's saying this, and here's the good news, ladies. If you are getting discouraged, I want you to know, don't get weary. Don't be discouraged, because there's a reaping time ahead. Amen? You've been sowing into those children, whether they're young or old now. You still are a sower into your children. Amen? And if you're a sower in your children, then don't be discouraged, but know that reaping time is coming. Amen? Amen? Reaping time is coming. And we all can be discouraged over our kids. We may all think, oh, well, my kids aren't as on fire as they'll be, or maybe they're not even saved. Whatever the case may be, maybe you're concerned. Maybe there's a drug issue. Maybe there's a boyfriend, girlfriend problem. They're unsaved, whatever. And you know, all these things that might come against you. I want you to know that if you don't get discouraged and you keep sowing seed, you're going to reap a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Would you stand with me?